Good morning. Good to see you in our house of worship this morning on a beautiful day, even though a little smoke in the air. Question for you, what does opportunity look like? Would you say your life is full of opportunity? Or do you think opportunity has passed you by? Opportunity, though, is really all around us. It's more than just what can benefit us physically. Opportunity is around us, even as a church and a school. What does that opportunity look like, and how can we take advantage of it? Well, that's the point of our Mission Emphasis Sunday, and to help us focus in on the opportunities before us and how to take advantage of opportunities, especially when it comes to sharing Jesus, we welcome former mission counselor for our Arizona-California district, Pastor Peter Krushel, as he shares God's word with us on the opportunities that are before us and how to make the most of those opportunities. With that thought in mind, we ask the Lord God to help us stay focused on giving him the glory this day. And to help us do that, our first opening song is sung by our children, and we look forward to hearing their voices. And as we do so, let us also keep in mind that this too is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. To God be the glory as we now hear our children.
Thank you.
Nice job, children. Thank you for singing. A good reminder to let our light shine, the light that Jesus has given to us. To also help with that reminder, I turn your attention to page 5 in the service bulletin as we begin with a responsive reading. I rejoice with those who said to me, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven,
I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trust me in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us continue to praise the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to work in your kingdom and leave no one standing idle. Help us to order our lives by your wisdom and to serve you in willing obedience.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Holy Scripture on this Mission Emphasis Sunday comes from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, the 55th chapter, reminding us that the Word of God still works and the invite that God has extended still is viable and real and to be extended to all people. We hear these words, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." This is the word of the Lord. Another reading from Holy Scripture, which makes the same point that the gospel is for all people, and it makes this point in a very visual way. It comes to us from the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "Three days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. This too is the word of the Lord." I invite you to stand for our next reading. It's called the Gospel reading. It's taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter. Our worship services focus in on the Gospel reading, and so we give respect to this reading, emphasizing the fact that the way to best living is really clear. It's right in front of us in the Holy Bible. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. At this time, I'd ask if there are children who want to come forward for a children's devotion, they're invited to do so. How you doing? Good. I hope you're comfortable. You're going to be here a while. I got the clock set for 60 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I got a question for you. How many of you have been camping out in the woods? You've been camping out in the woods? No? When you're out in the woods at night, is it light out or is it dark at night? Dark. And if there's no light and you're walking in the dark, what might happen to you? Oh, you might get eaten by a werewolf. Wow. That's true. What else might happen to you if you walk in the dark while you're camping in the woods? A bear might eat you. Wow, you're making me hungry. Werewolves and bears eat you. Yeah, you can trip on a log, right? What else might happen? You might bump into the tree and hurt the tree. Yeah. Right? What else? Oh, yeah, a little bump, right? What else? Anything else? What can you, you got something else? Walking in the dark, what might happen to you? Oh, you might hit your head. A good thing, right? So what can we do? What can we use to help us when we're walking in the dark so we don't... A flashlight, right? Right? This will help us so we don't run into that bear or that werewolf or to that tree, right? Or trip over a log, right? Flashlights are important. Well, today we reminded the fact that Jesus is also called a light. He's a light in the world. And how fitting that is, because the world without Jesus, it can be a hard place to walk, difficult. But Jesus gives us the light. Jesus is the light because what did Jesus do for us? What does Jesus want for all people? Jesus wants all people to go to heaven with him, right? And he has lit the way. He's a flashlight. What did Jesus do for us? He died on a cross, right? For us, for our sins. And he rose again. And he's given us the Bible, which is a flashlight as well, to point us the way to Jesus and the way to heaven. And what does that make you who know Jesus? You are also, what?
A light.
A light. Yeah. You ever think of yourself as a flashlight? You are a flashlight. By your words and by your actions, when people see you, they can see Jesus. Yeah, they can see Jesus, who is light. Right, that is, yeah, right? So, if you're ever camping in the woods and it's dark out, Remember to use your flashlight, right? But every day, remember that you are a light reflecting Jesus, who is the light of the world. Let's pray about this. Jesus, thank you for being a bright, shining light in this world. Thank you for going to the cross for our sins, and thank you for rising again, and thank you for pointing out the way to heaven. Continue to light up the way to heaven and help us light the way to heaven as well. Help us be kind and compassionate and tell other people about Jesus, about you and the way to heaven. Help us be your bright, shining lights. Amen. All right. Enjoy being flashlights today and every day. Thanks for coming up. Thanks. How you doing? We're going to continue what's called our hymn of the day. It's found in the Blue Songbook. The Blue Songbook, it's hymn number 775. 775.
Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that we're going to look at this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning at verse 27, and you'll find that printed out for you on page 9 in your worship folder. Just then, the disciples returned and were surprised to find Jesus talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or why are you talking to her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. This is the word of our God. In the name of Jesus, he has given us a new day of his grace so that we might have the opportunity to again sing the praises of the one who has called us out of spiritual darkness to his marvelous light. In him, dear friends. When Jesus met that woman at a well, there was something that took place there that she was not expecting. But the moment that he talked to her, the moment he opened his mouth and talked to her, she had to realize that what she was about to experience was like nothing she had ever experienced before. You see, here was somebody who was not afraid to talk to a foreigner. She was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. Someone who didn't look past her as a woman, or didn't look past her because she was of a different race or at least a different religion than he was. Someone who was not so taken in by the customs and the traditions of the day that said that he should not talk to someone, a woman who was not his wife or a relative. She had to know there was something that was very unique that was just about to happen. And sure enough, it took place. But not in the way that she was expecting. She had to be wondering in her mind, what is he trying to accomplish here? In fact, she says in the words just before our text, she says, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? This did not happen. But here was Jesus coming to her, asking for a drink of water as she came to the well to draw water for herself and her needs. And he said to her, if you knew who it was who was talking to you, you would ask him and he would give you the water of life. And from then on, she realized that this was going to be a different conversation than anyone that she had ever had before. Jesus was going to remind her of the mess that she had made of her life. But he was going to, even more importantly than that, lay out for her that he had come to make things right again between God and her. That he had come to do this not only for this woman who was at this well on this morning or afternoon, but he was going to do it for the whole world. What she came face to face with was the fact that Jesus cared. In fact, whenever we run into Jesus in the Gospels, what we find is a Jesus who cares for the souls of people who come into his orbit, into his world, who have some kind of contact with him. We're told over and over again of the love that Jesus showed and how that came across to the people that he cared not just for everybody, he cared for them as individuals. This woman was going to hear from Jesus the best news that she had ever heard. In fact, she was so happy with the news that, as we read, she went back to town to tell everybody in the town that this Jesus knew all about her sordid life, that he had to be the Messiah, and that they should come out to the well and talk to Jesus themselves. You know, that woman who found out that day that how much Jesus loved them is the same Jesus that you and I have met. Do you remember meeting him for the first time at your own well of water? Maybe it's so long ago that you don't even recall it clearly, or maybe it was when you were baptized at that baptismal font or one just like it, maybe as a child, as an infant. whenever it was that Jesus came to you and met you at the well, he came with power. Because he had the Holy Spirit use the Word of God to work faith in your heart, to have you believe that Jesus is the Savior who didn't only come for the whole world, but he came for you. What a meeting took place at your well. Jesus came and showed his love to you. And you know, for the rest of your life, up until this day, you have come face to face with the fact that that Jesus didn't just love you one time, the first time you met, but he has loved you ever since. Sometimes he has revealed himself to you through his word and told you great things about himself so that you understand him better and why he came into the world in the first place. Sometimes he has shown you that the path that you're leading, the path that you're going down in your life is a very dangerous path, and you're going to face some horrible consequences because of it, whether it's in this life or the life to come. Sometimes Jesus has just come to you and he's wrapped his arms around you and said, I'm not going to let you go. You're experiencing so much trouble in your life. You're experiencing so much grief or loneliness. I am going to assure you that this too is going to work for good for you, because I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has done that for you. And every time Jesus has appeared to us in his word with the power of the Holy Spirit at work, he has always shown you his love, his care. Just like he showed the woman at the well. He's done that for you. You know, of course, that that meeting with Jesus changed that lady's life. She went back to the townspeople, told them to come and see this Jesus so that he could possibly be the Messiah. And God has done the same for you. Her life was changed. Yours has been changed. And sometimes, don't we forget that? Doesn't it seem as though, yeah, we've met Jesus before. He's come into our lives and he's done a lot of things, but has he changed my life? Oh, he has changed your life, because you know what? He's not only said that he's going to rule over you with tender love and care now, but he's made everything right between you and God. He said, I do not want you to perish, but to have eternal life. I'm giving it to you as a free gift. It's yours. And he says that all the time. Did you realize how often he said that already in the service this morning? He reminded us of the song that the children sang, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." It's affected you. It's affected them. It's infected them with the love of Jesus. We've been able to confess our sins this morning, and we heard the blessed news that Jesus says to us, even us old-time, long-time Christians, he said to us, your sins are forgiven. And we rejoice to know that. But it's changed our whole outlook on life. The Apostle Paul says, Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, he says. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. This is what it's done for us. It's changed our lives. It says you have a purpose for living right now. You have a purpose that God himself has given to you in Christ Jesus. You have the opportunity and the privilege to be able to share the good news that Jesus died and he lives again for your children, for your parents, for your brothers and sisters, the people that you work with and the people that you meet every day of your life. Do you see what happened to that woman when she heard the good news? She had to tell others about it. She had to go back into the town of Sychar and tell everybody that this is got to be the Messiah. And you know what? Jesus has also said to us, you people who attend St. Mark in Citrus Heights, California, you people who live in 2019 and happen to be here on October 13th of this year, I'm sending you. And he doesn't have to give us an order. He says, this is just the way it's going to be. You will go and be my witnesses. You will go into all the world and preach the good news. Tell the good news to all creation. You, my friend, you're going to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And how can Jesus say that to us? Because his love compels us. We've been given new hearts in the new life that he has given to us. And that with that new heart, that redeemed heart, the heart that lives and beats for Christ, we have our marching orders, if you will. We have what's going to move us and motivate us and be our whole being for the rest of our lives. What Jesus wants, that's what we want. In faith, when Jesus says, you are going to be my mouth, and you're going to be my eyes, and you're going to be my ears for the world, we get it, and we want to do it. It's who we are. It's the way we are. We have been redeemed in Christ, and now that love of Christ compels us to share the good news with other people. I have a granddaughter who just turned 14. And she was born 14 years ago with severe heart deficiencies. I don't know if she was expected to live all that long, but it's 14 years later now. She, this last summer, had her third open heart surgery. And this time it was at Stanford University, which happens to be one of the only places in the whole world that is able to offer her the surgery for her heart and her lungs that are going to make it possible for her to live at least into the future. Well, I remember the first time that she had open heart surgery, and she was only 6 days old. And as the family gathered together to meet with the surgeons and all the other doctors and nurses that were going to take care of her, they told us how that surgery was going to work. And this particular type of open heart surgery, we were told they would have to stop her heart so that they could operate on it. Now, many of you have had a 6-day-old child. And if you have one that is very, very sick and her heart is not working all that well, you might have been like us, and we were concerned, what if they can't get her heart going again? You can't just stop a heart and have it start up again. Especially when that heart is damaged and it's about the size of a strawberry. We were concerned and shared that concern with the surgeon, and he said, no, that won't happen. Even a damaged heart, you see, will always beat. It wants to beat. The most difficult thing in open heart surgery of that kind, he said, was not to get the heart started again, but to keep it stopped during surgery so that they could operate on it successfully. See, a heart wants to beat. It's what it does. It has no other function than to have that blood pulsate through veins and arteries so that it can pump new life and oxygen into the body. It just pumps. It's what it was created to do. And that, my friend, is what has happened to you and me in Christ Jesus. We have new hearts. Hearts that beat in syncopation with Jesus. What Jesus wants, that's what we want. When he says, open your eyes and look at the fields, they are ripe for harvest, we understand that he's talking about souls who need to hear that he is the Savior who has come for all. And our hearts go out to those people because the love of Christ compels us. It's who we are. It's what we've been created to do. If we don't want to share with the Word of God with somebody else, if we don't want to tell somebody else that Jesus is our Savior, what we're really doing is denying who we are. We're denying ourselves. We have been made new creatures in Jesus Christ. So that's what we do. You've probably heard it said that there are three deep theological, philosophical questions that everybody is searching for the answers for. And those three questions go like this. Why are Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? And people will search their whole lives trying to find the answers to those questions. But if you are a child of God in Christ, praise the Lord, you already know the answers to those questions, don't you? You know where you came from. You are a child, a descendant of Adam and Eve, who were created by God at the beginning to live in a perfect world in perfect communion with God. That's where you came from. You know why you're here. You're here as your mission statement at the back of on the back of the balcony says, we are here to glorify God, grow in grace, and go with the gospel. You have purpose for your life. You are not only a doctor or a nurse or an employer or an employee or a student in a school. You are not just a worker. You are a child of God who has been sent on a mission to glorify God, grow in grace, and to go with the gospel. It is who we are. But I would submit to you that there's a fourth question as well. You got to answer this question. Where do you live? Now, on the face of it, that's a really, really simple question, right? You know what your address is. You know what city or community you live in, right? But I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure that all of us, and I include myself, always remember where I live. I forget that God has placed me in a certain part of the world at a certain time in the history of the world to carry out his purpose for me. Sometimes I forget that the harvest field that I'm looking at is right outside these windows and these doors. And I think that I live in a world that I want to be insulated from. I sometimes fall prey to the temptation to think that, you know, as long as I'm in here and I'm in this safe environment and in this safe community where people have the same kinds of values that I have, that everything will be okay and I'm safe from what's going on out there. And when I'm at my home in my community, I like to think that I'm safe and I have locks on my doors and I lock up my car when I leave it in a parking lot, but I'm safe and that's all I care about. I've forgotten the world in which I live. I've even forgotten the purpose for which I live in this world. Why did God place you in this community at this particular time in history so that you might glorify him and grow in grace and especially to go with the gospel? It's what we've been created to do, to tell other people about Jesus. I know that seems like an awesome task. Way, way too big for any individual, right? Maybe it's because instead of remembering exactly where we live, we look at this whole world and we see billions of people who need to hear about Jesus and we think, I can never speak or reach all those people. Or maybe we think, you know, Sacramento, the greater Sacramento area, this is so huge. There's so many people who don't have any kind of faith in Jesus, who don't know Christ at all. Maybe they've never heard about him, or maybe they've turned their backs on him, and I am not part of that world. But God has placed you here for a reason, hasn't he? But maybe that's too big for you. Let's get down to the individual level. That's what Jesus did when he talked to the woman at the well. If you knew who it was who was talking to you, you'd ask him and he'd give you water for life. You'd never be thirsty again. Sir, she said, give me this kind of water. And then Jesus began to tell her who he was and what he had come to do for her and for her community. The disciples didn't see that world, you know, in the same kind of way that we don't see the world around us all that clearly all the time. The disciples who had gone into town to get food for Jesus while he waited at the well and had something to drink, they came back and they saw this woman there and they saw all these townspeople streaming out of the town towards Jesus. And they wonder what had happened. Why was this woman here? Why are you bothering Jesus? Why is he even talking to her? They said to themselves. Do you ever feel that way about the world in which you live? I don't want to have anything to do with that. That's what the disciples first said. And that's when Jesus said to them, open your eyes. Look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. You don't have to look at the whole of humanity. You don't have to look at all the people in North America. You don't have to look at all the people in California or all the people in Sacramento or all the people in Citrus Heights. All you have to do is look at your neighbor, the one who comes and has some kind of contact with you. That's your mission field. That's the harvest. To be able to tell somebody the news that's going to enable them to be thirst-free forever. That is our privilege. It's our opportunity. It's who we are and what we do. What I'd like you to do this morning is just to think about the first person that you're going to be meeting after you leave this service this morning. I don't know who that will be. Will it be the person, the young person perhaps, that you meet at the convenience store where you're going to stop to fill up your car with gas or to buy something for lunch today? Is it going to be the young person or the older person for that matter who is going to be the checkout person checking out your groceries later today? Is it going to be the coworker who has no religious background, and you're going to be meeting that person again tomorrow? Is it going to be somebody in your own home? A mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter? Is it going to be somebody that you go to school with tomorrow? That's your mission field. How can you ignore that mission field? The truth is, if you're going to ignore it, you have to deny who you really are. Because God will give you the strength. I mean, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that applies to sharing the gospel as well. What will you do? Jesus knows. You will open your eyes and look at the fields, because they are ripe for harvest. It's who you are. Amen. Now, please rise. The peace of God that goes beyond all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Won't you join with me in saying the Apostles' Creed, in which we summarize our faith in this wonderful, glorious God that we have? You'll find that in the middle of page 9. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
We offer up these prayers. O Father, whence all blessings come, O Son, dispenser of God's store, O Spirit, bearer offerings home, Lord, them make them yours forevermore. Amen. We also use the prayer of the church found in page 10. We pray, Lord God, our maker and preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercy you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls, and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich treasure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are cold and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth, where there are wars, may there be peace, where there is hatred, may there be evil, where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help every soul.
Lord, we continue to commend Daniel Johnson to your care for healing as he remains in the hospital. Give Daniel and his family an extra measure of perseverance during this time of medical setbacks mixed with progress. Help them hold on to your promises, especially the kept promise regarding what Jesus came to accomplish with Daniel and all people in mind. Thank you, Lord, for watching over Miranda Lederman and blessing Miranda and Gunnar with a baby boy. Bless the opportunity they have to raise up Jackson and their daughter Stella in your ways, O Lord. Bring help and healing to those dealing with fires and collapsed buildings and other events which give evidence of a world dealing with the consequences of sin in this world. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you.
We also pray the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again. Great to see you in this house of worship, especially our guests this day. We're glad you are here. If you haven't stopped by our Welcome Center in the entryway, please take the time to do so. There's literature there about our mission and purpose here at St. Mark's as a church and a school. And also for our first-time guests, there's a special gift waiting for you there at the Welcome Center. Just to highlight a few things that are taking place this upcoming week and weeks. We have our Foundations class. For those who are interested in learning more about St. Mark's and our church, or interested in membership or just a review of the Bible, this would be a great opportunity. It takes place on Sunday nights at 5 o'clock here in the church grounds. Then Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, a great group that supports mission work throughout the world, including in our local area as well. We're having a rally. We're hosting the rally this coming Saturday. So check out the information board there in the entry about more details. Starts in Saturday morning. It's for men and women to attend, and great presentations on the mission work that we are doing and how we can support it even more so, especially in light of the opportunities. The harvest fields are definitely ripe for harvest. Then we have a special Reformation service coming up the first Sunday in November. Area Reformation, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Churches from the area will gather together here at St. Mark's. And along with the worship, we like to also eat. And so we have a meal after the service. And so Debbie is looking for help in putting that meal together. You can see sign-up sheets there in the entryway, or you can speak to Debbie directly. Also, our school's 50th anniversary. Big year this year, celebrating 50 years of being able to operate our school. It's November 9th and 10th, big anniversary celebration days. We're having a gala event, a silent auction, live auction, Saturday evening. You can learn more about that in the entryway. Great opportunity to celebrate. And then on Sunday morning, we have a special worship service. So again, more information can be found there in the entryway. Christmas for kids, the day after Thanksgiving. Opportunity to drop off your children ages 4 to 10 from 9 to noon. One-day VBS-like, so parents can go and do shopping, get coffee or whatever, chill. Check that out. Information there can be found on our website. We're looking for volunteers, so you can talk to Pam Egley or Pastor Groth about more details when it comes to this Christmas for Kids the day after Thanksgiving. And then see the weekly news for more things that are going on. You can find a copy there in the entryway on beige paper, or you can go to our website and you can find it there as well. Thank you, Pastor Crucial, for sharing the opportunities that we have before us and how to make the most of those opportunities. And before you leave, a video of our school so far, what's been happening this year, has been put together. It's a great video. Enjoy this video. And then after the video, take the time to meet and greet one another. Enjoy your day in the Lord. Thank you.